churches and our clergy. And so if you'd be keeping those new clergy and new places in prayer, and those churches where they're receiving new clergy and appointments today, one of which would be Pastor Alethea's son in love, is what she would call. Now, you can picture Pastor Alethea standing up here and saying, son in love, not son in law, right? And that's the way that she would say that. So we've given her the opportunity to be released from ministry responsibilities here today, to go there and to be a blessing and to surprise her son-in-law, who doesn't know she's going to be there with Tommy, and bless him on his first day in his new appointment. And if I was more astute, I would give you the name of that church, but it is not coming to mind right now. So just be praying for him and any other colleagues. I have a couple of my closest colleague friends starting new appointments today as well. Also, on a day like this, I always think it's important for us to be reminded of the church's involvement in the revolution. When you think about July 4th and freedom, and often what you see the Minutemen and the organization and the rally of the revolution and those conversations started by a lot of pastors in towns. Pastors and churches were the rallying point and led the cry for a desire of freedom from a tyrannical government. And I think sometimes we lose that in history. And so I would encourage you sometime this week to look at the role of the local church in the formation of the very first government of the United States of America and the involvement of local pastors in that. And I would just continue to challenge us as a church to say we ought to be involved as we pray for and as we live and as we look at where our government is today, where it was 4 years ago, where it is today, where it's going to be 4 years from now, and believe that God is not hands-off when it comes to that, but that the local church has a voice to influence the world as we live in a culture that would desire more and more for the world to dictate and determine where the church is to be and to go. It's a good reminder for us as we have a chance to look forward to this 4th of July week. And so we all know it's not just about hot dogs and barbecue grills and fireworks, but there really is a sense of freedom and opportunity and blessing that God has given us as he founded this nation on faith. And I pray that God continues to use us to do whatever we can to pronounce the name of God in Jesus Christ so that so many more people can discover the freedom of knowing Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what God calls us to. So we are wrapping up a sermon series today, and we're talking about answering the call. Now, we've been living in the life of Moses, and I've been living in Moses' life for so many times. There's a few times in your sermon notes the last couple of weeks that somehow I've created the book of Moses in the Bible. I don't know if you've seen that for some of the scripture references. Instead of Exodus, it's the book of Moses. Now, that doesn't exist. That is a faux pas on my part. I am not trying to recreate scripture. Lord, forgive me. But I've just been so energized by Moses that when I'm prepping these sermons, sometimes it just seems like Exodus is a book about Moses, and maybe it's the book of Moses. I don't know. So apologize for that, but we are all over and in and around the story of how God called Moses to go to Pharaoh, to announce to Pharaoh that God is ready for his people to be set free, and Pharaoh, you better listen. And so what we're seeing in the middle of this is that God not only calls Moses into his kingdom work, but God calls all of us. God wants all of us involved in his kingdom work, and it really has to do with setting people free. I mean, ultimately, that's what all of our kingdom work that God calls us to be involved in, the theme that is surrounding that is to set the oppressed free, to win the lost, to bless people, to come alongside of them and introduce the freedom of Jesus Christ to people, just as Moses went to Pharaoh to announce to him the freedom of God that God desired to set his people free. It is the theme that began in Genesis and Exodus, and it can be seen all the way through the book of Revelation in Scripture. It is the theme of God setting his people free. So God calls us to be a part of his plan. He wants you in on his purposes and creates you for a reason and a purpose. You are made for a mission. You are created for a cause. Now, what can that call look like in your life? It could be to start a ministry. You could be called to serve on a ministry team in your church. You could be called to meet a need that you see out in the community, and God's calling you to do something about it because he's placed the need in front of you. Some of you might be called to a new career, and you might be changing jobs as a result of that. Or some of you are being called, or all of us are being called, wherever we are, maybe not to leave our career, but to start to see our work in our career as an opportunity to have a mission field right there and then, to witness in the name of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean, if you're in school, that you're exempt from that. Maybe as a student, wherever you are in your studies, you see your school as a mission field. Maybe you're called into full-time Christian ministry. Not everybody is, but that might be a call for you. Maybe you're called to be a foster parent or an adoptive parent. Maybe you're called to go on a short-term mission trip. And Nora Holtzclaw, I think, is coming back this weekend from Puerto Rico, and there's people leaving this church all the time on short-term mission trips, whether they're sponsored by this church or not sponsored by this trip. Maybe you're called to something like that. Maybe you're called to mentor a teen, or you were called to serve in Vacation Bible School locally at Bethel Community Center and are still called to serve the ministry needs there in that community. Maybe your call is to open your home to start a life group there, and you're going to have somebody else in the group come and lead the lesson, but you're called to open your home and provide light refreshments and a place for people to come and to hear God's word. Whatever it is, it's God's dream and call in your life. And to dream God's dream has unlimited power and potential. God can use you to do anything he wants you to do. The power of God's work in you and the opportunity of what God can call you to do is absolutely unlimited. It is God's dream in you. And we don't spend enough time dreaming anymore. We get to a certain age and we think, well, we're just done dreaming. You know, life is on the downhill or the down low, or, you know, we're retired, or, you know, the kids don't listen to us anymore, and the grandkids are not listening to us anymore, and, well, I just don't know if I've got God's dream. My dream tomorrow is to wake up and have breath, okay? Well, that's the first part of it. But God still has a big dream for you. If you have a pulse, if you are alive, if you are, no matter where you are in that moment in your life, God is wanting to continue to speak his dream into you, because God's dream is grounded in God's call in your life. You can do what God calls you to do. It is the power of possibility. Luke 1 in the Bible, verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." In Matthew, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible," Jesus speaking. Now notice, God says the same thing, but he flips them around in reverse. And when he does that, he's bringing you to the point where he wants you to have extra special focus. He wants to announce to you big time that all things are possible and nothing is impossible. In other words, in God, it's always the power of possibility, no matter where we are. In Ephesians, I love what it says. Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can possibly ask or imagine or fathom, according to his power that is at work within us." So the reason why it's God's dream in us is because God can dream up bigger things than we can ever possibly fathom or imagine for us to do for him in his kingdom work and purpose. Nothing on earth, there is nothing on earth that God can't do through you in the power of his kingdom plan, in the power of his kingdom work, and according to his will. And the question today is, what is God's dream in you? That's actually been the question we've been asking for 4 weeks in this sermon series. When we look at answering the call, today we're talking about unlimited possibilities. What is the unlimited possibility or God's dream that God wants to dream in your life? He's planting a dream in you. He's planting his call in your life, and it is beyond your ability, your wildest imagination, your ability to even ask for it, because it's putting your life into God's hands, and when you put your life into God's hands, the potential is unlimited. Now, how about we wrap our minds around the unlimited potential of God? Well, how about we go back to cell phones? We've kind of been living in there. The name of the sermon series is Answering the Call, and I told you the story last week about how we completely changed all of our technology. We went from Verizon to AT&T. We talked about dead zones last week, and we got to work through those because there's dead zones in our life when it comes to the call. It feels like the call's dropped, but with that, we stepped into unlimited data for the very first time. Now, I'm not here to say that every family could afford to go into unlimited data. The only reason we went into unlimited data is because we hacked Spectrum off of our bill list and said, no thank you, Spectrum, and we use our cell phones as our hotspots. So that's why I'm saying that to you. I'm not advocating that after today you go out and, you know, teens, you look at your mom and dad and say, Pastor John and his family, they have unlimited data. How come we don't have unlimited data? Well, that's why. We're saving ourselves $70 a month by going to unlimited data. Now, I will share with you that with unlimited data comes all kinds of power and perks I've never experienced before. You no longer have to monitor your teenager's use of your cell phones and their data usage, and there's no such thing as a data hog in your family anymore. Anybody, now, maybe in this group, maybe not so much, but you ever have a data hog? You ever run into a data hog? Okay, all right, we got a couple people. And data hogs are when you look at them and say, you get 2 gigabytes of data this month, and that's it. Beyond that, you're going to start to use the rest of the family's data, and that's not fair. And they're using 3 gigabytes, 4 gigabytes, 5, 6, 7, and then you have to, as a parent, kind of constantly badger that person. You don't have that anymore with unlimited data. With unlimited data, you can get on YouTube and watch all the videos you want to watch wherever you are. You can tweet your friend to death on Twitter. You can do all these things. You can watch movies. You can use your cellular phone anywhere, and you don't have to worry about how much data that you're using. You just have the power of connectivity everywhere you go. It's unbelievable. So you're riding in the car with the kids, and they've got their own movies. Some's listening to music, and it's all Wi-Fi free because they're in their data mode. By the way, I don't remember how my parents put up with my brother and me without any kind of access to electronics or movies when we were riding in the car. Oh, my goodness. I think my brother and I just tortured my parents when we traveled. So there is just this unlimited power and potential when you have this unlimited data. Now, it's costly. I remind you, I'm not here and advocating that you go home as a family and automatically invest in unlimited data. But there's power and blessings that come with it. There's no limit. There's no worrying about the data ever running out. There's no worry about the power ever running out. It's just kind of constantly there and always there. And in the same way, God's power is able. He is able, and his power is unlimited in our life. It will not run out. And for God, there isn't anything that's impossible. There isn't anything that's impossible. And with him, there are all things that are impossible. And so anything he calls us to do, any dream that he places in our hearts to do, that he plants in us, is met with the power of unlimited possibilities. And what seems impossible to man, I think somewhere in Scripture it says, is possible with God. What seems impossible for man is possible for God. He has designed you for his amazing kingdom work. What is God's dream in you? What is God's call in you? What is God's dream that has been burgeoning in your heart and your spirit? Well, let's look at the call of Moses. Let's go back to that. Ever since he was called from the burning bush back in Exodus chapter 2, you know, his call speaks to him through this burning bush that's physically in front of him, but God's call speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of our hearts. There are burning bushes in each and every one of us, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, speaking into us, guiding us, and leading us. And because of that, we're standing on the same holy ground that Moses stood on, the very presence of God, because God lives in us and resides in us. Everywhere we go, we ought to just have a barefoot mindset. As Moses was told to take off his sandals, he was standing on holy ground. Now, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, Moses came up with a whole list of excuses on how he couldn't answer the call, and so do we. We're full of excuses. Last week, we talked about, again, there are times where there are dead zones where we don't get reception, or it feels like the call or the dream has dropped. Do you ever have a dream in your life, and you feel like the dream is dead? Feel like the dream is gone, and you're not getting there? That's a dead zone, and we talked about that last week. There's trials and troubles that come along that derail sometimes that dream in our minds, but through prayer, God can give us the courage we need to stay on the straight and narrow in that dream. So today, we're going to see that when Moses is faithful to the call into the dream, we're going to see that we have a God that delivers for him on his promise with a big-time power of unlimited possibility. Of unlimited possibility. And so here's the first thought for the day. The first thought for the day. And I just got a couple thoughts for the day, a couple big thoughts. God will perform signs and wonders and miracles, if you're taking notes. God will perform signs and wonders and miracles in your life because of the power of his unlimited potential for you and for me. And we're going to turn into Exodus chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 6. And so Moses and Aaron have finally obeyed God. They've gotten through the dead zone. They're still struggling a little bit. There's still trials and challenges. Moses has shed the excuses, and they're on their way. And so Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses, 80 years old, and Aaron, 83, when they spoke to Pharaoh. How old are some of you out there? Some of you in your 80s, 80, 83, 80, 85. Here's a colleague in ministry, okay, for those of you that are at that age, all right? And so this is what Moses did at 80, 83. This is what Aaron did at that age. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, your brother, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. And so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Now, how do you think that went? Didn't go so well the very first time. So this simple shepherd, this Moses character and his brother Aaron, in their 80s, they go to Pharaoh. It's never too late to serve God. It's never too late to be involved in God's ministry. It's never too late to dream God's dream. they go there and they command Pharaoh to let God's people go. And oh, by the way, be responsible for leading about a million Israelites or maybe even more out of captivity and into freedom. And so while they're there, they turn their staff, they lay their staff on the ground. God turns it into a snake. Now, let's just stop right there. We can read things like that in Scripture and just gloss right over them. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Can God still do that today? God can do anything God wants to do. And with God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. God turns that staff into a snake. And so Moses is this man staring at the impossible. There's no way that God can make this dream and his life come true. There's no way that this calling can happen, but God can. See, with man, we can't, but with God, we can. And that's exactly what happened with that staff. Moses throws that staff, Aaron throws that staff on the ground, God turns it into a snake. They couldn't have done that, but God did. You see, God is going to give you the ability to start a ministry. God is going to give you the financial provision you need to change your careers if need be. God is going to give you the people to meet the need that you desire to meet and to build a team around that. God is going to give you the energy at 80 to be able to mentor a teen in our youth ministry. How is it possible that we have all these amazing people in our church that have so much life experience, yet we're unwilling to sit at the same table with a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old and to mentor them and to build a relationship? You have a lifetime of knowledge in God in your life, and our teenagers need you. Our teenagers need you. You have something special to offer. My dad in his 70s, on into his 80s, speaks life into me every day. And I'm 45 years old, and I still think I know it all until I talk to my dad. 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 17-year-olds, they're just looking for a friend. They're just looking for somebody that'll listen. And if you'll let them, eventually they'll look to you to speak into their life for life experience. We never retire from God's kingdom work. And so when you think you can't, God shows up and he says, I can through you. I will do the impossible. He does it for Moses. He does it for Moses. He turns that staff into a snake. And of course, Pharaoh and he gets the sorcerers out and he says, well, you do the same thing. And somehow the sorcerers, they conjure up this snake coming out of some kind of staff on the ground. But guess what happens? The snake that was God made out of the staff from Moses and Aaron swallows up the other snake. Now there's a sign that Pharaoh's in trouble. Amen? There's a sign that if you're the enemy, you're going to be cowering because your sorcerers, their power, it just got devoured and overwhelmed because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so through Moses, God answers this dream and this call. Now, there are 10 more impossible signs and wonders and miracles that follow. That's the first wonder and sign and miracle that God performs in front of Pharaoh to say, Pharaoh, I am God. Moses, I told you I wasn't going to send you on this God dream and this call all by yourself, powerless. I am displaying my power. The data was unlimited. The data was absolutely unlimited. In Exodus 7, they turned the Nile River into blood. In Exodus 8, there's frogs and then gnats. You ever have that moment and season in your family and in your house where you get ladybugs just pouring in from cracks everywhere, ladybugs everywhere? Anybody ever get like those ladybug moments just everywhere? Yeah. Where do they come from? I mean, the screen is there, everything is enclosed, and yet they just make their way into the house. It's like a plague. So just picture ladybugs everywhere by the billions of the billions. Then there was flies in Exodus 8. In 9, the Egyptian livestock is dead. Then there's boils. Then there's hail. And then in chapter 10, there's locusts. You remember 2016? Remember that? And just coated on trees and cars everywhere you went. And they were just everywhere. Well, now take that and multiply it by about 10 billion, and that's what was going on in Egypt. Then there's the plague of darkness in Exodus 10 for 3 days. And then in 11, there's the death of the firstborn as the Lord passes over the houses of the Israelites, but does not spare the firstborn of the houses of the Egyptians. Unlimited miracles, unlimited provision. His power and signs and wonders were on full display. And so Moses steps out in faith into God's call and lives God's dream and God shows up big time with unlimited possibility and his power as a result of it. So when we step out in faith, God always proves himself faithful when we're stepping out into his will. Pharaoh can't see the signs and wonders, though, if you're taking notes. That's interesting. God just throws out these miracles after miracles and signs after signs and wonders after wonders, and Pharaoh just can't see it. Pharaoh refuses to see it. Pharaoh can't see the signs and wonders. In verse 12 of, there it is. I have Moses 9 in my notes here. Interesting. Exodus 9, verse 12. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron. So Pharaoh stubbornly ignores 11 signs. And the question for us here today is, how often do we ignore the signs that God is showing to us? How often do we ignore the call that God is giving us? How often do we ignore the leading that God is leading in our life to join his kingdom work? I mean, he's constantly sending us signs. He's sending us happenings. He'll send us people that will invite us and challenge us. He'll send a preacher to you that'll do a sermon series for 4 weeks and talking about unlimited God possibilities and potential and God's call to get involved in God's kingdom work, to serve in a ministry inside the church, and to get involved in a mission outside the church. And yes, yet we still walk away in life wondering, you know, gosh, when is God going to speak to me? You know, when is God going to speak into my life? God's calling us constantly. He's giving us burning bushes inside of us. And we're waiting on a sign, just like Pharaoh is waiting on a sign, and there's signs everywhere. There's wonders everywhere. There's miracles happening every day in Egypt. And granted, they're coming in the form of plagues, but at some point in time, you say to yourself, it's about time I pay attention. And so when God calls us to a thing for his kingdom purpose, he's not going to let go. He's going to allow the burning in us to happen until we pick up the phone and answer his call. And so if we're waiting on a sign, we have to be careful when we look at Pharaoh, because he's still waiting on a sign that the God is the Lord, his God, when the signs are all around him. And so in time, his heart becomes hardened to God's intentions. You know, we get to the point where we say, you know, God is not going to use me to perform a miracle. I'm too busy. I can't afford to do it. Unknown. There's too many unknowns. I don't want to bother with it. All those lists of excuses as to why we choose to really not just ignore the call, but we choose not to see the signs of the call. And if we ignore God long enough, he may motivate us in ways we don't like. Now, God does not bring harm to his people. But God allows us to get uncomfortable in uncomfortable situations to be guided to his perfect will. And so if we ignore God long enough, is it possible that he may free up our schedule for us? Is it possible? I don't want to get to that point, but it's possible. Is it possible that, you know, if you don't honor God with your finances, that he may never allow you to get ahead financially? You may just always feel like you're scraping and clawing because you've never honored God with your finances. Is God punishing you? Absolutely not. But he's going to allow you, when you ignore God with your finances, to experience the natural results of that, which often leads to debt, poor spending habits, buying things we can't afford, arguments and, you know, with your spouse, and all kinds of difficult things because we haven't done the first good and right thing and honored God with that. Is it possible that when we ignore God's call and the signs that are out there, that he's going to allow us to feel empty? He's going to allow us to doubt things in our life. He's going to allow us to have feelings of being lost. Because God is saying to you, I've got a dream for you. I've got a call for you in your life. Get going. Get going. So dream big and let's go, because the possibilities are unlimited. It's unlimited data today. I was feeling the nudge from my friends when I was in college at The Ohio State University to go on a stateside summer project with Campus Crusade for Christ. It was an organization I was involved in, and that's kind of what all my friends were doing. They were going on a stateside summer project. You give up your whole summer, you go to a resort town, and you go there and you find a local job, and you get intensive ministry training. People were telling me, you have to do this. I mean, you got to do this. This is what we're all doing. The signs are all over the place. They were speaking into my life, and you know what? God allowed my heart to be hardened. I just hardened my heart, because I'm one of those, you know, if you tell me what to do, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Because that's just sometimes the way I kind of have been in life. Is if I get told that you have to do this, I'm thinking, really? I got to do this? You can't tell me what to do. And that's kind of where my heart was at that point in college. I kind of hardened my heart. I said, I'm not going. And so in 92, summer of 92, I didn't go. Summer of 93, between my sophomore and junior year, I didn't go. And in 1994, I finally allowed God to soften my heart. I signed up to go. I saw the finances come in, because you had to raise support to go, which is one of the reasons I didn't want to bother with it. I saw the finances come in. God gave me an incredible part-time job there when I was making more an hour there than any of my other friends and people were doing. It was unbelievable. God gave me a lifetime of training in the 2 summers that I went there, opportunities. I was walking along at my job on a gravel driveway, and a contact lens fell out of my eye. I didn't have another pair with me in Ocean City, New Jersey. And I said, okay, Lord, somehow I need to find my contact lens in a gravel driveway. And I looked for 5 minutes, and not only did I need to find it, Lord, but I needed to find it soon enough that I could just lick it, put it back into my eye, because there was no water source, or I didn't have any contact solution. And all of a sudden, something glistened in the sun, and there was my contact lens in this sea of gravel. I don't know how I saw it to this day. I picked it up. There wasn't a speck of dirt on it, and it was still moist 5 minutes later. Put it in my eye, and I was good to go. Something small. But for me at that moment, I recognized the favor of God's hand and the power of possibility in my life. And to boot, people came to Jesus Christ as a result of me being there as we shared our faith on the boardwalk. And in 1995, I had a chance to meet my wife and lifetime love and Aaron. And all because I answered the call. All because I decided to live God's dream. And because I had pushed it aside and I ignored the signs for all those years, I finally decided to take that step of faith, and God proved himself faithful. He just showed up every day on those summer projects with the power of unlimited provision and miracles and signs and wonders of more than I could ever possibly fathom, ask, or imagine. My kids are alive today and in my life because I went to that summer project and I met my wife, Erin, and because of our family. He will show up in your life with the power of unlimited possibilities and more than you can ask or imagine. When you step out, God will step up with big time, unlimited possibilities, signs, wonders, and miracles, because it's just unlimited data everywhere you go with God. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. So in Exodus 12, Pharaoh finally gets to the point where at some point in time, Pharaoh finally gets the clue. It's like, okay, maybe this is God and maybe I need to let these Israelites go. And it happened when he lost his son. Of course, because of the death of the Egyptian households, that 10th plague, that 10th miracle that God brought, passed over the houses of the Israelites, did not spare the Egyptian leaders, and Pharaoh lost his son, and in the moment, lost himself. He relents, lets Israel go. There's a caravan of 600,000 men, by the way, which doesn't include the women and children, over 1 million people that Pharaoh changed his heart to let go and to now put into the hands of Moses and Aaron to lead them. Then Moses has a change of heart. Pharaoh has a change of heart after he lets them go and decides to run them down and destroy all of them, and he sends out his entire army to follow them. So they catch up to where the Israelites are camping on the shore of the Red Sea. You following along with me? We're covering an entire book of the Bible here in 30 minutes this morning. And the Israelites are freaking out because their backs are against the sea and their enemy is pursuing them with chariots and all of his army. And they face impossible crossing of the sea with a bloodthirsty army behind them. And so what we see is God bringing unlimited possibility that paves the way forward for them and protects Israel's backside at the same time. And so God will do the same for you. God will go before you and he will be your rear guard as well. God will go before you and be your rear guard. In Exodus chapter 13, 21 to 22, it says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither left its place in front of the people." So God went out in front of them and faithfully led them, guided them, and took them to where they needed to be with his miraculous power. He did not leave them, the Bible says, ever. And so we know in the process, God commands Moses to raise his arms and his staff in front of the sea because God is going to perform a miracle of parting the Red Sea. And then in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 20, the Bible reads this. When the armies of the Egyptian Pharaoh were on their backside, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel." When you step out in faith, God proves himself faithful. He will pave a way in front of you, and he will guard your backside against the enemy. And what we know as the story goes is that all night the caravan of Israel crossed the parted waters as Moses raises his staff and raises his hands. God parts the waters, a wall of water on the left and on the right, a divine pathway forward to fulfill God's dream in their life. And so while that's happening, he's covering their backside with the pillar of cloud that was leading them in front. And Pharaoh's army is confused. The Bible says that God literally was pulling the wheels off of chariots. They were scattering in fear. And after the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, guess what happens? It closes up. Pharaoh and his armies decide to pursue through the waters. It closes up. God vanquishes their enemy, vanquishes Pharaoh. The God of unlimited possibility and power delivers them as he promised and delivers Moses and his leadership as he answers the call and lives out this dream of delivering the Israelites to the promised land. The first leg of the journey is accomplished. And like Israel, when we answer the call and when we live God's dream, God will do the impossible to guard your backside with the pillar of clouds, with a pillar of fire, whatever he might use. And he will also make a way in front of you with divine appointments and not leave you exposed. He'll do it with a pillar of cloud. He'll do it with a pillar of fire. He's got your back against an enemy that will try to foil his plans, but he won't allow it to happen. He's covered my backside numerous times, and he'll cover yours when you step out in faith. As we obey the call, he will intervene for you and confuse the enemy. He'll pull the wheels off of the devil in order to get you to do what he's calling you to do. And if need be, he'll take that enemy and he'll just drown him in his love and his grace and whatever it might be, just like he did Pharaoh and that army. He also will go before you and set up divine appointments. As he parts the waters and parts the barriers and makes a way that seemingly has been blocking you from fulfilling God's dream and God's call in your life, that pillar of fire will clear a path with divine power of unlimited possibility and unlimited data as you step out into that dream. And so right now, God is working to set up a conversation between you and somebody else. Right now in front of you, God is setting up some happenings. He's setting up some encounters that he wants to happen as a result of this dream that God's placed in your life. He's setting up some experiences and some people that are going to speak into your life. He's parting the waters with divine appointments all before you, and you might not even be able to see them right now. Because in Christ, as you step forward in life, there are no such things, if you're taking notes, as coincidences, only God incidences. There are no such thing as coinkydinks, coincidences. Only God incidences. As you step forward and God parts the waters into your call, into this dream, there's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as karma. And I'm about to destroy most of our minds here. There's no such thing in grandma in heaven looking out for you, steering you wherever you need to go. That is God and Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God is doing in our life. Our son Austin answered the call to the military. And we were so proud of him, and it was a dream that was forming for him that he finally discovered and was excited about it. And I just know that God provided a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, and parted the Red Sea for him in order to be able to go through that. I know that because the weekend we went for his graduation and picked him up, he all of a sudden couldn't find his brand new iPhone, and those are really expensive. We were at the Krispy Kreme donuts. Thank you, Jesus, for Krispy Kreme donuts. You got to get them while they're hot. And couldn't find his phone. He was digging through all of his luggage, all of his stuff in the van, couldn't find it, and pretty soon he realized he left it in the bathroom. Went back to the bathroom, and of course it was gone. Now he remembers seeing an employee from Krispy Kreme that went in after him, and we can only assume that at that point in time we had an idea of where that phone was. So somehow we talked to the manager there, found the employee, and the employee who had taken a break brought the phone back. We prayed while we couldn't find that phone, and when we found out that an employee was in there, the employee left on break, didn't bother to turn the phone in. We prayed, oh Lord God, change this employee's heart, somehow deliver that phone back. 5 minutes later, we get a phone call from somebody that was in Austin's contact list because the person was trying to find us to deliver the phone to. They come back and hand Austin his phone, and Austin is saved from that painful experience of having to not only spend the money on that one, but get another one. You see, God was covering his backside as he stepped forward into the dream, as he was living out God's call in his life, and God will do the same for you and me. He will part the seas of life. He will make a way into your future. He will help you know in the unknown future to know God's footprint, and before you get there, his fingerprints will be all over that with which you walk into. The impossible provision will be all over the signs and the wonders with unlimited data. That's absolutely amazing. Anytime, with all the power that you need of endless possibility. So listen for the call. Listen for the call of God in your hearts and your minds from other people, from circumstances, situations. God speaks through all things to guide you into doing his kingdom work that will burn inside of you with a burning bush that cannot be extinguished other than to live into and to fulfill that with which that burning bush is burning for in you. And we just got to trust that God is going to deliver on his promise, that when we step out in faith, that God is going to prove faithful. He did for Moses. He will do it for you. He's done it for me with the power of miraculous signs and wonders and possibilities and miracles. He'll guard your rear guard. He'll go before you because God ultimately wants to share his kingdom work with you. So will you answer the call? Will you dream God's dream and watch it take you on a journey of a lifetime? He's waiting. Are you ready? Are you ready for a journey of a lifetime? Are you ready to come as you are? Are you ready to connect with God and others in that journey? Are you ready to grow in God's word and prayer on that journey? If you are, then let's go. Let's go. Let's go in the name of Jesus Christ and share his love with the world. Kingdom work is not just reserved for clergy like Orlo Freshly, or clergy like Pastor Jeff over here, or clergy like Alethea Botts, or local pastors like my brother who stood up here, Dick Newland, or me, or any of those clergy that are being appointed anywhere in any of those churches today. The work of the Lord is done mainly by God's people in the church. You are the church. We are the church. We are the church together. And at Rolling Plains, we are on a journey, coming, connecting, growing, and going. So let's go. Let's go by finding a ministry to serve in our church. Let's go by finding God's dream and serve somebody outside of this church on a mission and see what God can do. And see what God can do. We serve a good and amazing God. Praise be to God. Amen. I want to invite you to a time of prayer, and you can do that by grabbing the prayer cards and the seat backs in front of you, and you can bring those forward. And as you do, just, God, what's your dream in me? What's the work that you want me to do? How do you want me to be a part of your kingdom movement called the local church? And bring those prayer requests forward, whatever they might be, and put them in the baskets that are side of me here at the altar area, and let's just give this time to God and see what he has to say.